The buzzword for today is outcomes. You can't go any place in the world, any place in business or education without somebody talking about we need to have measurable outcomes. That's what everything is about. And in terms of measuring outcomes, this sort of has the side effect of bringing in a lot of testing. This is especially true in people who work in the field of education. People always want to see, and that was even in the No Child Left Behind Act, that the people could even see that at any point your school was getting better in its outcomes, at least according to how the tests judge things. And I started to think about this because I know that nobody, or not very many people that I talked to, really felt that outcomes are a good thing. The testing to see whether children are learning is kind of a dodgy kind of thing. It's not exactly what we wanted to do. It may have been a good idea, but it's not exactly getting us there where we need to get. And I thought it would be really interesting if we applied outcomes and testing to other lines of work. Like, wouldn't it be cool to give your pastor an outcomes test? That would be so neat. That would be awesome. Because I think I'd do pretty well. I think I'd do really well, actually. Outcomes. Trinity? True, not true, or I'm not really sure. I'm on the true side of that. That's an easy one. I could do that with my eyes closed. Jesus, the Son of God, I'm 100% there. This is not hard. Apostles' Creed, I believe in that. We say it every week. I'm good as gold on these outcomes. I'd do really well until this Sunday and we hit, do you think Joseph really should forgive his brothers? Ooh, there go those outcomes right out the window. There go the testing. Do you think you would be as generous, and we were talking about this morning in the adult Sunday school class, do you think you'd be as generous as willing to forgive Joseph's brothers after all they put him through and after he had been separated from his family for 22 years? I think I'd have a problem there. Forgiveness, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I also don't like, and I've told you this before, I'm not a big fan of the prodigal son parable for the same reason. You know, the son goes off. He says to his dad, I need your inheritance now because I can't wait for you to die. He's the younger son, so he wouldn't even get as big a portion as his older brother. He goes off. He wastes it all. He comes back and says, you know what? I'm really sorry. And the father says, okay, come on back and everything's right with the world. And the older brother says, wait a minute. Is this really how it works? And I have a problem with that one. Now, that may be sort of my own psychological problem because I'm the oldest and my sister was the youngest, so there's probably some Freudian thing you can read into that, but I've always had a problem with that one. Mark Twain, I think it was Mark Twain, said, everybody thinks forgiveness is a great idea until they've got somebody to forgive. And I think we'd all do pretty well at our outcomes until we were really honest and really turned and looked interiorly about forgiveness. And we have big problems. I have big problems. I'm not afraid to admit it. I have big problems with forgiveness. Forgiveness is tough. And I had a sweet elderly woman who I knew years and years ago. Butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. And she said to me, you know, I've tried to live my whole life by the golden rule. I had this wonderful conversation with her. I've tried to live my whole life by the golden rule. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Until somebody does something to me that I didn't want done to me, and then all bets are off. And I thought, wait a minute, that's not how the golden rule works. I had no idea that that was the golden rule. I mean, that seems actually, reading the golden rule, it seems like a perversion of the golden rule, the opposite of the golden rule. You're supposed to treat people how you want to be treated, even when. I mean, there's no conditions on that. Jesus doesn't say you treat people the way you want to be treated until. No, it's an all or nothing kind of thing. In a recent online argument about what else politics that I witnessed in the last couple of weeks, somebody inserted themselves into the conversation and said, you guys are all wrong. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And I thought, wow, the implication is for this person. Now remember, this is a quoting of Scripture. This is what Jesus says when he's dying on the cross, right? So the implication here is that God, it's out of my hands. You have to forgive all these people that I disagree with because I can't anymore. I thought, wow, that's pretty weird. That's really strange. That person has a very big sense of self-importance. Because I can't forgive them because they're too whatever, liberal, conservative, whatever it is. They're too wrong. They're too attacking my character. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. I mean, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, and I think it's interesting, the translation that Amanda read a little bit ago and the translation that I have here, the one that we say every Sunday, the translation that we repeat every Sunday, is a little shady on the forgive us our debts. And I'm glad that Amanda's version has gotten a little bit closer to what I think it actually means in the Greek, what Jesus probably would have said, what Jesus probably did say. It's a little shady. And the reason it's shady is because forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors isn't as clear as what she actually read, which is forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And that's really what the implication is grammatically. I'm not a big grammar person in the Bible, but from what I've read and what I understand, that we're asking God to forgive us with the same measure, the same portion of forgiveness that we've given to other people. Now that's really a scary thing. It's one thing to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive other people. Ha ha, that's great, that's wonderful. But it is kind of scary if we say, forgive us our debts in the same manner, Jesus, that we forgive everybody else. Ooh, that's smart. And I think it's pretty darn close to the mark. But it confuses me. I got to tell you, it confuses me. And we just had a conversation about this, and I need to be clear about this. We just had a conversation in confirmation last week. And there's a difference, and I want you to hear me. I need to be clear about this for context. That there's a difference between justice and forgiveness. And forgiveness does not mean some sort of sloppy get-out-of-jail-free card that somebody can walk all over you. You don't have to, when you're forgiving people, to keep being victimized by someone. And that's a sermon more about justice. And that's more for another day. I'm not going to get into that today. But this forgiveness that I'm talking about this morning is about an event in the past, or the kinds of forgiveness that we've all done to one another, the kinds of sins that we've all done to one another. I'm not talking about the big things. I'm not talking about murder and adultery and things like that, but I'm talking about the smaller things that we all get involved with that we need to be forgiven for. And here we are with Joseph. And the only thing that could make this story, which has taken us all the way through Genesis, we're now at the end of Genesis. We're going to start the next time we look at the year of the Bible. We're going to be projected forward into Exodus, the second book of the Bible. So we're 1/65th of the way through my preaching series. That sounds really fantastic, doesn't it? 1/65th. Wow, we'll get there in no time. That scares even me. That sounds horrible. Anyway, the only thing that could make this story about Joseph any worse, after all this trouble, now you remember we left a lot of stuff out of the Joseph story. Sold into slavery, he goes down to Egypt, he gets put in prison for 2 years, he's accused of attempted rape. I mean, there's all sorts of horrible things that happen and things get really complicated. The only thing that could make this 22-year long saga any worse is if Joseph held a grudge. Is if we get to the point in Genesis 45, where the brothers come back, they say, we're starving. We hear that you are the only land that has any food left here in Egypt, and we want to come to you and see if you can help us. And the only thing that could make this worse is if the brothers and Joseph engage in a war of who started it. If Joseph holds a grudge, you guys sold me into slavery. And then they say to him, well, you were dad's favorite and you never did any work around the house and you were a tattletale. You told us on us over and over and over again. And the more we look at it, who's right and wrong, it doesn't really matter in the story, does it? Could we say that the brothers had a legitimate beef with Joseph? Yes, we could. Could we say that Joseph has a legitimate beef with his brothers? Most certainly we could. And in any situation, forgiveness wipes away the slate clean. Everybody starts over again. Everybody starts over again. When you're talking about forgiveness, you have to leave all that counting behind. Because if you don't do that, you will never get any place. You will never advance. If you're always holding something back, I'm going to forgive you except for that one time. I'm going to forgive you everything. Try breaking this out at a family dinner over Easter. But don't try it really, but family dinner like Easter. You know, I'm going to forgive you for everything. I'll try this with my sister maybe. This will be fun. Who's also a minister, so this is important. I'm going to forgive you for everything except that one time that you did that one thing that I'm going to remind you about every Easter until eternity. No, that's not how forgiveness works. You wipe the slate clean. And it's tough. I'm not going to stand here and say it's easy. But being ungrateful is such a sin. Holding grudges, we don't often think of it this way, but holding grudges is such a sin against the outside world and against yourself because it's so wasteful. Jesus Christ bought our forgiveness on the cross with his blood, bought my forgiveness on the cross with drops of his blood. And I hope when the end of my life comes that I haven't been careless with even one drop of Jesus' blood that he gave for me. I hope I haven't even been careless for one moment about the cost that my forgiveness cost Jesus. Not only that, the only thing that's worse is making that event, whatever it was in your past that you need to forgive somebody for, the only thing that can make that event of 20, 30 years ago worse is standing here today and saying, you know what? Today I've got a choice. I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer and I've got a choice between forgiveness and holding a grudge. And the only thing that makes that event of 20 or 30 years ago worse is when I wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to hold on to that grudge. And I'm going to hold on to it for another 15 or 20 years. Because the only thing worse than that original event is letting that person, letting that event shape you again and again. Every dawn you wake up and you're faced with this possibility to wipe the slate clean and to go forth into a new future. And the only thing worse than that event is still carrying it on with you. Still taking it with you into the future. To live that over and over and over again, that horrible thing. And letting it hurt you again tomorrow and tomorrow. And to know that it's never going to get any better. Forgiveness is all about looking at a promised new future. Forgiveness is all about saying, you know what? I can't count the cost. I can't count and figure out whether I'm on the good side of the ledger or on the bad side of the ledger. Whether this all balances out right or not. But I know one thing. I know that God forgives me my sins. And because God forgives me my sins, I can go forth into the future forgiving other people their sins against me. And I can look forward to a future where, indeed, we forgive, we are forgiven in the same way that we have forgiven others. Amen.